My subject this morning is fire. Fire, because when I read of the history of Wellspring, and I listened to your testimonies, and I joined you in the United Service, and I heard what you'd come through, and I heard of your sadness, and I heard of your shock when the news spread that Wellspring literally was on fire, and the roof had caught fire, and the place was damaged, and there was water damage, and because of the, when the firemen came with all their hoses, etc., 20 firemen, several fire engines turned up. The fire was put out, but it left behind a trail of destruction. And there was water damage and smoke damage and fire damage. And I have heard a couple of people have told me, they said, Pastor Jim, several people, when they heard about the fire, they said, that's the end of Wellspring. Well, God bless those people. But these precious people had forgotten what Jesus said. Jesus, he's the head of the church. He's the chief shepherd. He's the foundation stone. Hallelujah. He's the one that purchased the church with his own precious blood. And he said this, and I happen to believe it. Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No fire, no one will bring an end to Wellspring. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Fire may have damaged it, but the church that God planted here is indestructible. Hallelujah. The gates of hell, no evil plan of the devil or anyone else will stop the building of the church of Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. Brother Arnold has mentioned the empty seats. Pray that God will fill those empty seats. Jesus said, I'm building my church. I will build my church. I will build my church. In the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it says the Lord added to the church daily such as would be saved. Let's believe for God to add daily. Not yearly, but daily. Let's believe for souls. Let's believe for people being healed, going away with a testimony, and people saying, I must go to that church because people get healed there, their lives get changed there. And these people who believe that the fire was the end of Wellspring, they forgot what God's word says in Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good. To them who love God and them who are called according to his purpose. So very briefly, it's not going to be a long message. I was in Uganda for 6 years, Ruth and I, as missionaries. We met under the trees a lot of the time, several hundred people or more. And they sang and they danced and they testified and they sang and they danced and they testified and then they brought me on. And I had four or five interpreters. There was a row of us. And so I would say something. I would say, Munga Bariki Sana! God bless you very much. And that would go down the line. I would say the next statement, God is good! All down the line. It was wonderful. Wonderful. So a half hour message would become an hour and a half. They didn't mind. Services were 5 hours long. When the service finished, you had a meal. Wonderful. Hallelujah. And then we came back to the UK, to a church in London. There for 11 years, my last church. And after an hour service, they're already looking at the... I didn't mind that, but when they shake it to see if it stopped, didn't like that. So it took a while to adjust. But a brief message this morning. I want to look at a few of the benefits of fire. Can I let you into a little secret? When I say I'm a simple man, I don't mean I'm a stupid man. But I'm simple in the sense of simple things please me. Like we went to Belfast. I come from Northern Ireland. And you may have heard of the Europa Hotel. It's the most bombed hotel in Europe. The IRA kept bombing it and they kept building it and they bombed it and they built it. And it's, praise God, at the last count, it's still standing. And you walk in the lounge and there's these doors. You walk in, and to the left, there's the most amazing fire, real fire with flames. And I have a picture sometime in my church here of Ruth and I sitting by that fire. To warm myself by the fire is one of the most wonderful things to me. Near where Ruth and I live, there's a restaurant, it's called Ember Inn. Outside, as a sign, they have a fire. It's electronically, you know, the flames going up. But we love it, absolutely love it. In fact, if there's people sitting at the tables near the fire, I feel like saying, excuse me, could you move? I'd want to sit there. I wouldn't do that. But the fire. And coming from Ireland as I do, brought up on a farm as a young lad from the age of 3 to 12, out in the country, putting the turf, the peat, the logs on the fire. Wonderful. So if you in your house, you have a nice open fire, invite me, because I'll just love it. The fire gets into the bones. And where you would do that, and it went, and it sounded wonderful on tape, wouldn't it? But where your arm would creak or your leg might snap, I find that the heat does you good. Anybody else discovered that? Really does you good. So fire has the benefit of warming you, helping your bones. People like to gather round a fire in the home. But I have a few things. Number one, fire attracts people. Fire attracts people. When Wellspring caught fire, and 20 firemen turned up with their fire engines and lights flashing, sirens blaring, I guarantee you there was a crowd of people curious to know what was going on. The fire at Wellspring caught the attention of many people. And in the book of Exodus, there is the story of a fire which caught the attention of a man who was going to be mightily used of God. His name was Moses. And I'm thinking of Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush, remember this, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside, and I will see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Verse 4, Exodus 3. So when the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Remember that. A bush on fire. That was nothing unusual. But what was unusual was, although the bush was on fire, it was not consumed. Number two, a voice came from within the bush, the voice of Almighty God. And here was the thought, and I hope I can get out from my heart into your heart what I believe God put in there. And it's this. God was speaking to you out of the fire. God was speaking to you. I was here the night of the United Service. I listened to the testimonies. Truly, I felt your pain, I felt your sadness when you saw the damage, when you saw what had happened. And it would look like the devil had won, but the devil never wins. Because Jesus Christ is the winner. The Bible says in Colossians, he made an open show of the devil in all his work. Hallelujah. And greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Praise God. The devil, what about him? Submit to God, says James. Resist the devil, and the devil will flee. Hallelujah. Don't let him mess you about. But God spoke to Wellspring. And God spoke to this area of Bexley out of the fire. And God's still speaking out of that fire. What did the Lord say to Moses? He said, come, come now. Come now. Brother Ronald was appealing for people to join Johnson. Come now. Well, I'll think about it. No, there's nothing to think about. Souls are going to hell. There's nothing to think about. Some of you have heard my testimony. Standing at a bar in the army in Aldershot years ago, planning to blow my brains out with an army rifle because I was so depressed. Lost my dad, lost my fiancée, ran away from home. An absolute mess. But a young man came into the bar and shared the good news of Jesus Christ. There's somebody behind the door out there, friend. There's somebody on the street that you'll bump into. There's somebody in a shop. There's somebody out there. And it's the last chance we will have of reaching them for Christ. The last chance. Someone said, untold millions are dying untold. Let us tell them, amen. Let us tell them. Let us tell them. May God raise up an army of men and women to stand with our brother, to get out in the streets, to knock on the doors. Don't be afraid. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. What is there to fear? You have someone living in you. His name is Jesus. He has all the answers. Well, Pastor Jim, I'm afraid to knock on the door because they might ask me a question and I don't know the answer. You may not. He does, and the Holy Spirit within you. You will be amazed. The Holy Spirit within you, he will bring to your memory something you read, something in the Word, or he'll put something in there that's just right. People will ask questions, but you've got the answers. You can tell them what he's done for you. Look, I was this. I met Jesus. He did this. He can do the same for you. Would you mind if I pray with you? Doesn't have to be a long-winded thing. Do you mind if I pray with you? Come to our church. It's fantastic. Did you hear about the fire? Well, we're still on fire. I expected a hallelujah then. I think I need to borrow Arnold's hearing aid. Forgive me for that. That's not right. That's not fair. But God spoke to Moses. This was the point I wanted you to get. Out of the fire, God spoke. Oh yeah, the devil spoke. Ah, that's the end of Wellspring. Well, shut up, devil. You are a liar. You wouldn't know the truth if it hit you in the face. But God spoke out of the fire. God said, I'll build my church. The gates of hell, anything the devil would try to do, it'll not prevail against it. Hallelujah. We're winners this morning. We're on the winning side. We're on the victory side. So God said to Moses, come now. Not next week. Not pray about it, Moses. I'd like you to go away and pray about this. I'd like you to fast for 40 days and give me an answer. He said, no, come now. Why come now? Because people back in Egypt are dying in slavery, Moses. They've been crying to me, crying out to me. And I've come down to deliver, and you're my man. Come now, and I'll send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And there's another example of fire that caught the attention of many people, and that's in Solomon's temple. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 1. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven. Oh God, will you so bless Wellspring that when people pray, the fire of God will come down. Amen? Amen. Not just prayers, not just words. I was delighted this morning with your praise. That was wonderful. It flowed. It was wonderful. You didn't have to crank it up. The listener didn't have to work on, Phil didn't have to work and say, come on now, come on, come on. Will somebody please? It was wonderful. I said to someone earlier, we're having a party. Hallelujah. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of misery. There's fullness of joy. Not his right hand or pleasures forevermore. But here we have Solomon's temple. People pray. And when Solomon prayed, when he had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. Listen. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, may your glory fill Wellspring in the name of Jesus. And how about this? It says, and Arnold couldn't give up to read the notices because of the glory of the Lord. No, what it says is, because of the glory of the Lord that had filled the house, the priests could not get up and minister. How about that? Somebody would get up and they would go, they would, come on, man. They couldn't, because of the glory, because of the power, because of the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And all the children of Israel, when they saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord came upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement, and they worshipped and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Number two, fire unifies. Fire unifies. Do you see the blacksmith? Do you see the anvil? Do you see the fire? Do you see him taking two pieces of metal, two pieces of steel? Do you see him putting them in the fire until they're glowing red? Do you see him picking up the two pieces of metal with the tongs, putting them on the anvil, and with a hammer striking them until the two have become one, and very strong one as well? Psalm 133, verse 1, you know it. How good, how pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together and they're fighting and arguing and squabbling and criticizing and condemning. No. The Bible says, behold, how good and pleasant it is when the brethren and the sisters, they're all in there, when they dwell together in what? Hello? In unity. Because there, verse 3, there the Lord commands the blessing, life forevermore. May God help Wellspring to be united. United by the truth. United by that one faith, the faith, the faith, what's been handed down from generation to generation. Let us contend for the faith. May you be united in the faith, united by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. When God poured out the gift and the blessing of his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says there was 120 in an upper room in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. And the Bible says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place. May God bless you as a church. May God always help you to be in one accord. Amen. Because that's where the Lord will command the blessing. There was a minister visiting one of the church members who lived out in the country. He was a farmer. Hadn't been to church for a few weeks, and the minister was getting concerned. So he went to visit him. And the minister, the farmer, was full of excuses as to why he wasn't able to get to church. And so the minister said, sir, he said, may I show you something? And there was a big open fire in the farmhouse. So the minister reached out and took the tongs, pushed them deep into the fire, took out a live, red, hot, glowing coal, and set it on the hearth. Within a matter of seconds, it began to change color. And within not many seconds, it had turned black. The farmer looked at the minister, he put his arm on his arm, he put his hand on his arm, and he said, minister, don't say another word. I'll be at church on Sunday morning. Because he had seen, if you take the coal out of the fire, the coal will die and become black. That's what happens to a lot of God's people. You see, the Bible says that we are not to forget the assembling of ourselves together. We're not to do it. We need each other. We're a body. You know, you get a sword and you go, my hand falls to the ground. Within a matter of days, a few days, it's going to smell. It's going to be horrible. It'll die. You lose a finger. Unless that finger's connected quickly, it'll die. And that's what happens to God's people. So, come hell or high water, come snow, come blizzard, come whatever, please make sure you get to God's house. Oh, that's a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I think I'll have a button here. When I press it, it'll go, amen. Don't forget. If a child of God is to stay on fire for God, they need to stay in the family, stay in the house of God, stay with the people of God, stay in the prayer meeting, stay in the Bible study, get to the breaking of bread service. Because there in that service is a reminder of what Jesus did for you and I when he died on the cross. His blood was shed that our sins might be forgiven, hallelujah, and his body was broken prior to the cross and on the cross that our body might be made whole. By his bruises, by his stripes, we're made whole. New Living Translation says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Let's encourage one another, especially now the day of the Lord is coming soon. Number three, and I only have one more. Number three, fire gets things moving. Did you know that? Fire gets things moving. I don't know how you came here this morning. If you came by car, do you know you came by fire? There was a fire in the engine. Did you come by bus? If you came by bus, you came by fire. You come on a motorbike. That'll sound good on tape as well. If you came by motorbike, you came by fire. Ever fly in an aeroplane? You flew by fire. You came by fire. I say again, fire gets things moving. Amen? Matthew 3 verse 11, John the Baptist said this. He said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who's coming, that's Jesus, he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. Luke 24:49, Jesus gave his disciples a command. He said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. You're nervous about joining Johnson? You're nervous about knocking on doors? You're nervous about giving out the New Life magazine? You're nervous about giving out a gospel tract? You're nervous about approaching someone about what God has done in your life? Listen, what you need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You say, but Pastor Jim, I was too long ago. You need to be filled daily. Paul says, keep on being filled. Amen. Keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the answer. How about Acts 1 verse 8? The Bible says Jesus told the disciples, he says, you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. So you had the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit came and they're all filled, and they began to speak in a language they'd never learned. They began to speak in other tongues, a language they'd never learned. Acts 2 verse 1, these same disciples, they're in prayer again. And the Bible says they'd been threatened, the religious authorities had threatened them, told them not to preach in the name of Jesus. And so they went to their own company and they prayed. And they said, Lord, do you behold their threatenings? They said, Lord, grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching thine hand out to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Listen, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost. Listen, and they spake the word of God with boldness, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace, great favor was upon them all. I say again, fire gets things moving. You're not moving, you're lukewarm, you're a bit lethargical. I'd like to go to church, but I'm not sure. Oh, Johnson, poor Johnson, all on his own, out in the cold for 10 minutes. Oh, I'd like to help him, but I'm not sure. Come on, get some fire in your bones. Get the Holy Spirit in your bones. Let's get passionate. Amen. I remember, some of you are young enough to remember, when Dr. Billy Graham was in Earl's Court in 1972. And I remember I was there that night, Cliff Richard sang. And then this dear, godly man called Lindsay Glegg. He must have been in his 90s. They asked him to come and say a few words. And he came to the microphone, this tall, elegant, but frail man. He didn't say a lot, but I remember one thing he said, I've never forgotten it. He said, "Oh, for a passionate passion for souls that pours out itself for the lost. Oh, for the love that Jesus had. Oh, for a Pentecost." Amen? Amen. That's what we need. That's when we need to keep having a Pentecost, a refilling of the Spirit of God, being filled again and again. So if you're feeling a bit, get filled with the Spirit. He'll quicken you. Amen. He'll straighten you up. He'll sort you out. You've got a problem in your mind, get filled with the Spirit. You're worried, get filled with the Spirit. Whatever it is pulling you down, pulling you back, get filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I promise you, fire, the fire of the Holy Spirit will get you moving. It will get things moving. He will. Lastly, number four, fire purifies. Fire purifies. Do you see the goldsmith? Do you see the crucible? Do you see the fire? I'm told that the ancient goldsmiths, they knew when the gold was pure. How? When they would look into that hot, molten metal, and they would see their reflection, they would know it was pure. You know something? Father God, He desires to see the reflection of His Son and the men and women that make up the church of His Son. Amen. The body. Isaiah 6. Isaiah says, "In the year that my friend King Uzziah died." Maybe this is a word for somebody. Has something died in your life? "In the year that King Uzziah died," he says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His glory filled the temple." The Bible says not only did he see the Lord, he saw himself. And he saw his condition before God. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He said, "Because mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then Isaiah says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid the coal upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips. Thine iniquity is taken away, for thy sin is purged." Fire purifies. Fire purifies. Then Isaiah says, "Not only did I see the Lord and see myself, but I heard the Lord speaking. And the Lord said, Who shall I send? Who will go for us? Isaiah says, then I said, here am I. And that's what Brother Arnold was saying this morning. He says, Brother Johnson needs helpers. Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? Who will go? If Isaiah was here, he would say, here I am. Send me. I want to finish with a story, brief story. I'm sure those of you who have television have seen those awful destructive fires in America, in Australia, other countries that devastate acres and acres and acres and acres and acres and acres of forest. And many wild animals are destroyed. Homes are destroyed. It's so sad. But I read something which really blessed me. And I finish with this. The article said, those who live in the regions of the wild prairie fires, they know very well that there is only one means of escape from the destructive power of a raging fire. The way of escape is really very easy to create. A man simply takes a match and lights the long dry grass at his feet. Swiftly, this new fire flies ahead, consuming all before it. And before the great prairie fire comes his way, he just walks onto the blackened ground where all has already been consumed. He's safe. Oh, he's quite safe, because when the fire comes up to this spot, it finds nothing left to consume, and so it cannot come near to him. It cannot touch him, and with him, perhaps there are thousands of poor, breathless animals that have rushed to the spot. They all stand safe, because the fire, having gone over that place once, cannot do so again. So now you understand the phrase, stand where the fire has been. Friend, I'm standing this morning where the fire has been. Not just the fire that's been to Wellspring, but I'm standing, my position is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ took the full force of the fire of the judgment of God when he suffered and when he died on the cross for you and for me. And in Christ, I'm standing where the fire has been, and the wrath of God and the judgment of God cannot touch me. Because Jesus took it all for me, and he took it all for you. And there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you standing this morning where the fire has been? Are you in relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you know him as your Savior and Lord? If you say, Pastor Jim, I don't, receive him today. Don't put it off. You may never ever sit in this church again. That's reality. I may never stand in this pulpit again. None of us know when the call will come. Friend, be ready. Stand in Christ. Get into Christ. Get out of Satan, into Christ. Out of self, into Christ. Out of Adam, into Christ. Then you're safe. And you're safe for time and eternity. William Booth, he wrote a fantastic hymn. He says, O Lord God of Elijah, hear our cry. Send the fire. Yeah. To make us fit to live or die, send the fire. To burn up every trace of sin, to bring the light and glory in, the revolution now begin. Send the fire, send the fire, send the fire. Oh, he says, 'tis fire we want, for fire we plead, send the fire. The fire will meet our every need, send the fire. For strength to ever do the right, for grace to conquer in the fight, for power to walk the world in white, send the fire. Hey, Liska, one day when I come again, you must sing that for me. Get the folks to sing it. And if you don't know how, I'll help you. Here's another verse. To make our weak hearts strong and brave, send the fire. To live a dying world to save, send the fire. Oh, see us all on the altar lay, our lives are all this very day. To crown the offering now we pray. Send the fire. Send the fire. Will you receive the fire? of the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. So that's a few thoughts following the fire at Wellspring. God bless you.